Kick off your boots and turn it up. It's time for New Local Country First.
I do love country music.
You're kicking country on Buck 92.3, where country legends live.
You're listening to Kicking Country and Keeping It Local right here on Buck 92.3 FM and buck92.com. Yeah, I got Nate Jones with me right now. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Nate, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and let us know how you got into country music.
Yeah, great. So I'm Nate Jones. I grew up in southern Michigan between Hillsdale County, spent a lot of time in Wayne County, spent some time in Monroe County as well. So I'm a southern Michigan boy, mid to southeast, and been playing music for a long time. Been making a lot of music across different genres. I've always been a songwriter, a storyteller, singer songwriter kind of style, and that lends itself to being acoustic, which a lot of people consider country just in general. But what I started with writing came along the lines of like folk pop or folk rock. And through the years, I've kind of adapted, made that sound. I've gone through different periods of sound, country rock, all those kinds of things. And then now I've really landed in the Americana, the alt-country Americana genre. And I think that it's the most true form of me as an artist that I've really landed on yet in my couple decades of making music.
That's awesome. Was there a moment when you knew this is what you wanted to do?
A single moment? Probably not. I've made music basically my whole life since I was about 4 years old. I was in the church, grew up in the church, and so there's that classic story of singing in the kids choir and, I was songwriting as a kid. I think my first song that I can remember writing was around 6 years old, probably, hey, this is a structured song. So I know music was always going to be a part of my life. And I guess I always expected it to be at the end of my life. I love the Johnny Cash story.
Yep.
He's essentially in the studio, the day he dies or the day before he dies, I love that, that the way that music stayed with him, and that always inspired me. I knew that music was always going to be with me, but as a single moment of when I knew this was going to happen, maybe around like 16, 17, something like that. And, I just knew that the traditional lifestyle wasn't going to be the thing for me, that I had a lot to say with music and art. And, so yeah, I would say it was probably like mid-teen years where I really kind of landed on, hey, this is going to be something that you could pursue and that you should do.
And that's what's neat about music.
Yeah, certainly. I consider myself a storyteller. These songs are stories. And I mean, some of them are just there to make you move, right? Some of it, sometimes you just want to get up to feel good. I have an opinion that, that most bars were built on, on sad stories, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the reason that we sit under neon lights, So sometimes it's about what's being said. It's how you can relate your story or hear someone else's story and retell it in a way that other people also get to relate to it. It might not be their story, right? But it pulls on something. And so as a songwriter, you're constantly, you're in there trying to just grab a hold of people's heartstrings and see what resonates with them, as well as yourself.
Yeah, so, and that's what's the neat part about it. Who were your biggest musical influences growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of different music, but my story was I was a pastor's kid. So in the 90s, being a pastor's kid meant you weren't allowed to listen to anything that was outside of like the church music.
Yeah.
So we grew up listening to music, with the key turned backwards in the van, listening to radio stations. I remember the first time I heard Kid Rock, Ba Wada Ba, and I was just like, oh man, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So I remember these specific moments of music, but I had other influences as well. Like I grew up with my mom loving Glenn Miller Band and John Denver. And then I had, I had a lot of different music, the 90s pop scene, the boy bands, the Britney Spears, all that kind of stuff. But we also listened to, growing up in like mid Michigan, it was a lot of country radio. So it was a lot of Tim McGraw, Alabama, George Strait, Alan Jackson. Oh yeah, for sure.
Alan Jackson is one of my favorites.
Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that was that mid Michigan, eclectic kind of thing. And, our parents influenced so much of what we listen to at a certain point.
Yep.
And then we grow into what we want. At that point, I stepped away from country music for a long time. In the early 2000s, I wasn't listening to country music as much. I grew into my alternative rock phase, at that point.
If someone's never heard your music before, how would you describe your sound?
Honestly, I'd say it's Americana.
Okay.
Through and through. You know, carrying the sounds of country, rock, folk. You know, it roots in the songwriters of like the 60s and 70s, guys like Cat Stevens, James Taylor, you know, moves into like Kenny Loggins and John Denver, like because those guys were influences on me.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, you know, that's kind of where it stems from, is that Tom Petty kind of sound, you know, you're touching country, right? Like you're country adjacent, yeah. In a lot of ways. And then like the most recent project that I worked on, it has, like when we talked about it, we were talking about like, we want some Brad Paisley kind of sound here. Right? Uh-huh. Like we wanted something that felt a little nostalgic, but something that feels modern. So,
yeah,
you know, there's guys like Zach Top and Zach Bryan and Tyler Childers and these guys that are very country adjacent. Some of them, you know, some of them have a classic country sound. Some of them have like an Appalachian sound. And so like, giving something that feels that modern, but also gives you a little bit of nostalgia, makes you feel like it's something that's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the sound has been shaped around now. So if you like those kind of artists, check it out. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's what I would tell, you know, someone's never heard my stuff. Like, hey, you like Tom Petty, you like Zach Bryan, like you like these, you know, like this kind of sound, like you like John Denver, you like hearing country roads, play the vibe that I give off. It's such an important factor. And people, you know, that's something that over the years I've played 3,000-4,000 shows across the country. You know, like I've played in corners of bars, places where a full band should never fit, you know.
Yeah.
I've played, you know, big stages where everything's open, and sometimes people are loving you and sometimes people don't care that you're there.
Yeah.
Right. But they can feel it when you're not enjoying it, when you're not giving it, you know, whether it's an audience of two people or an audience of a couple thousand people,
well,
you know, like they know it.
And
that's the same way, you know, even in radio, like, they can hear that. Like,
yeah. Hey,
if I don't want to be here, I don't want to show up.
Yeah.
Like you know it, you know?
Well, and that's like, you know, I always, you know, said you got to leave your baggage at the door when you go in and do your job, and you got to leave the baggage at the door and just have fun doing it. And, you know, so
and
that's
the same way going back, right?
Yeah.
Leave the baggage at the door when you leave work too, right?
Yep. Like, yep.
So,
yep.
So you get to come home without it too, you know?
Yeah. And next question, what does being a local artist mean to you?
Yeah, I think being a local artist means capturing the essence of the community that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you got to understand, in the beginning of, like, when we started talking a little bit about Michigan weather, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm from California and I'm sitting on the beach, I don't really probably know much about the four seasons and what it feels like to complain about 99 degrees in the middle of summer and complain about below zero, you know?
Like, in the wintertime,
so,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're right. Like, so it's like there's a rigidity that's like created in who we are. There's a resilience in who Michiganders are. Like, so I think, like, as a local artist, it means capturing the essence of the people that are listening to you. And I mean, that can be picked up across the world. I meet people from Michigan all the time, you know, when I'm playing in other states and that kind of thing. And they pick it up, right? They know where you're from, and you immediately talk about that thing, and it's your tribe.
Yeah, you have that connection. You know, the Michigan connection, you know?
Yeah. And that's the local part of it too, is like, as a local artist, it's ingrained in me.
Yeah.
You know, it nothing feels more like home than Michigan. You know, when I'm on the road or when I come back or if I've been gone for a bit, you know, like nothing feels more like home than Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And understanding like the people that are around me. I think that's the biggest part about being, you know, being a local artist is just realizing the people that are around you also share in this. And so connecting with them in that way is a big, you know, big portion of that.
Yeah. That's you said it perfectly. And, do you have a favorite place to write or, play music?
Writing is basically anywhere near water. Like water just moves the spirit, right?
Yeah.
Like there's like something about the movement of water. Now, maybe not like,
next to, like, the waves.
A smelly bog that's not moving, right?
No, but I get what you're saying, but like, you know, hearing the waves crash in or whatever, you know, the ripples of the water or a stream. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
That's where I love to be able to be writing. Obviously, if I'm inspired, wherever I'm in inspirationally, right? Like if I'm inspired, I just want to sit down and grab a pen or pick up my phone and start jotting notes, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
But playing wise, like in a performance manner, or do you mean just like even for myself?
Hey, either or. I mean, just like, you know, do you like enjoy just picking up a guitar and just strumming along, or, you know, anywhere, or, you know, or if you got a favorite venue that you like?
So as a local Michigan artist, I mean, I've played a lot of places, played a lot of venues, but my favorite place in Michigan to play, I've been playing there for a decade. It's called Northville Winery and Brewing Company. It's in Northville, Michigan, upper northwest corner of Wayne County.
Okay.
And it's this cool little winery with a outdoor stage. The crowd's always fantastic. The owners treat me so well. Like, they take care of their people. They take care of the place. It's probably my favorite place to play. I usually play there like twice a year with a band, and then maybe a couple times I'll pop in on like a Wednesday night or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to sit down and hang out and play. But it's so cool when you get a venue that just clicks with your energy, because uh-huh. every place has an energy, you know. And sometimes it's like, you know, if I was a club guy, I'm sure it'd be different, right? But like,
yeah,
I'm an outdoors dude. Like, yep. I love playing outdoors. Like, I love playing. It's the best way to play music, in my opinion. If I could only play outside, I would always play outside.
Yeah,
you know. So it meets a lot of the takes a lot of the boxes. But then also it depends on how much I'm working.
Okay.
In the summertime, man, when I'm playing, like, when I'm playing 5 gigs a week, or I'm playing, you know, 3 gigs a week, or
yeah,
playing very regularly, it's like, I don't know too many plumbers that want to come home and just play with pipes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I said that too, because right out of high school, I worked at a bowling alley, and everyone's like, oh, you must be really good at bowling. I said, no, I'm busy, you know, making sure everyone else is bowling. And so, you know, right. I get what you're saying, you know, and I, after I got done working, I didn't want to sit around and bowl, you know. I was like, I want to go home. And so, but yeah, right. I get what you're saying. You know, you don't want to come home and, you know, it's one thing you don't want to do is come home and have to fix your toilet or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah. So you just, you know, in that, sometimes if I'm working too much or I'm working a lot, there's less inspiration to sit down and just pluck away. Sometimes my fingers might be sore, you know, maybe uh-huh. I just played, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday through Sunday, or I was on the road for a couple weeks, you know, and then your fingers are just like, man, take a break. Like, you know, that's okay. It's really easy to get up and still find myself singing, though, you know, like, it, you know, putting the dishes away or,
yep.
You know, just being out and about, and like, you find yourself singing to the radio and you're like, oh, you're supposed to be on vocal rest, man. You shouldn't be singing. But
yeah,
it's hard when there, you know, when there is a song going on and it's in there.
Yeah. How does living here in Michigan influence your songwriting?
I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, just I honestly believe that Michigan is some of the most resilient people, especially, you know, Southeast Michigan and the Wayne County area, the struggles that have been in Detroit, like, for 50 years, you know, and like watching the destruction, the rebuilding, the, you know, the manipulation, the politics, like all of it that just encompass it. Right. It's a very resilient place, very resilient people, you know, and that's something that does influence what I do. It influences how I want to talk to the people that are listening, how I want to build my audience, how I want to speak to them, you know. And that's a big thing. A lot of people, when they're writing songs for themselves, which is great. That's awesome. Like, I you know, I'm a huge mental health advocate. I think journaling, getting out that stuff in your head, like, into songs is amazing. But when you're crafting something for someone else to listen to, you can't really just craft it for yourself, right? Like, you've got to be crafting it around an audience. I want those people that want to hear it, that need to hear it, to hear it, you know? And so it just helps with, you know, in the communication of who I'm speaking to. But then also, honestly, like, just getting to the outdoors, like, it's a huge, I don't know too many people in Michigan who hate the outdoors,
uh-huh.
you know? So it's like, that's a big part of, like, of what I'm writing. I want to have that feeling, you know, like, Rocky Mountain High, right?
Yeah.
From John Denver, like, that kind of thing, right? Like, you know, just there's something about the spirit of it all that, you know, that does influence what you're creating, you know.
Going into our next questions, it's neat how we just led right into it, because it's talking about music and songwriting. And so where do you usually find inspiration for your songs?
Ooh, all over the place.
Yeah, just driving down the road or thinking, or
it can be driving down the road. Like, you know, a lot of it is in other people's stories or my own story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times I've sat on park benches or sat at riversides or sat in places and just had conversations, you know, conversations with other people. They tell me really cool stories, or, you know, something that they say about who they are or their story as I listen to it inspires a song. I do get a lot of it from, like, created fiction or created stories that from other people, right? Like, you watch a film or you watch a movie, you know, you read a book and you catch, you know, some other form of media, you know, and you hear, like, a really cool line and it speaks to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, inspiration's all around. But in songwriting, I've always heard inspiration is for amateurs, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you only write when you're inspired, well, then you're only probably going to have, you know, 20 songs, 30 songs, right? Like, that kind uh-huh. of thing. You know, so crafting it, like, sitting down and writing with intentionality is really important, too. You know, and sometimes sometimes that's writing a song for your set list.
Yeah.
Like maybe the most recent songs I've written were all slow, like really slow and felt a little bit low, you know, so I might need to write something that's a little bit more upbeat and get, yeah. or vice versa, you know.
Well, that way you can get people out on the dance floor or whatever and
You know, grooving around to it, because it's, you can write and just be in one space the whole time. Some people really enjoy that, you know, but you know, maybe you need to spruce up your set list. So yeah, that's the part of like the non-inspirational side. The inspiration side is, man, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's in my faith. It's in my, you know, my story. It's in my wife, you know, it's all those places. But sometimes I just sit down and I say, hey, I need an upbeat song. I need to write a song that says something about this. You know?
Yeah. So, is there one song that you've written that means the most to you?
From the most recent album, I wrote a song called Needed You to Know. The EP is called Greatest Is Love. And honestly, the whole EP is some of my favorites that I've ever written. It's kind of, like I said, it's like the most natural me that I've ever been as an artist. But I think specifically from that, even from that EP, there's a song called Needed You to Know. And it's a heart crying out like, hey, I loved you.
Yeah.
And I learned how to let you go.
Yeah.
You know, like, you were never mine. Like, I can't possess you. You're not mine to hold. And, you know, and just releasing it. And saying also, like, I can still love because I'm allowed to do what I need with mine. It doesn't matter if you love me back. I can give love as much as I need to.
Uh-huh.
And so that song for me is just, it's like full of a lot of passion. It's full out of a story. And so I think that's probably the most meaningful.
What's your songwriting process like? Is it lyrics first, melody first, or do you, you know?
Yeah. You know, it really depends. It depends sometimes on the song.
Uh-huh.
Like I can write a song. I can sit down and start and force it and, you know, maybe say, well, I need something that feels upbeat or I need something that feels this way. But as you're writing, there's actually a really great songwriter that I talked to. And he just basically said, like, Nate, just be the pen. Like, the song already exists. It already wants to exist.
Uh-huh.
Like, just write it down. Just write it down. The song already knows where it wants to go. And I think the more songs that you write, the more you understand, you can recognize, like, the direction that the song wants to go. At least, that's my understanding and my belief about it, right? But,
yeah,
you know, like, sit down. You know, like, sometimes words come. Sometimes music comes. There's not necessarily, like, one process to it. But it's just, like, don't fight the song. As it's like in its direction, you know, as it's heading the way that it wants to. Hey, this is Nate Jones, and you're listening to Buck 92.3 FM and Buck92.com.
My old man taught me everything I know. How to strum this guitar, how to dig a hole, how to walk out on everyone you know. How to say you're sorry 10 years down the road. Oh, it ain't easy living life. Hell, it's only my first try with a second chance, so I know I'd get it right. There's highs and lows on all the roads we take until we're done, and watch the burning red-orange glow of one more setting sun. When I'm gone, you might just hear me whisper in the wind many things I've seen and done, but the greatest is love. I'm not perfect, I ain't gonna lie, but something about my daddy makes me wanna try. I learned to love beyond the reasons why. Forgive myself and others when we don't get it right, 'cause it ain't easy living life. Hell, it's only my first try, but with a second chance, so I know I get it right. There's highs and lows on all the roads we take until we're done, and watch the burning red-orange glow of one more setting sun. When I'm gone, you might just hear me whisper, I've seen and done, but the greatest is love. The greatest is love. after mama, I guess his hand got cold. And I still hear stories that they told. I can hear them singing. If I listen close, it ain't easy living life. Hell, it's only my first try. But with a second chance, so I know I'd get it right. There's highs and lows on all the roads we take until we're done. And watch the burning red-orange glow of one more setting sun. When I'm gone, you might just hear me whisper in the wind many things I've seen and done. But the greatest is love. Let me see your upside down frown, hands up in the air, and let me hear you sing it out loud. Living without care, we're only here for the moment. Let's live it loud. Let me see your upside down frown and hear you sing it out. Oh, come on. Life is beautiful when you get your head out of the bottle. This world is wonderful. Now carry with me lessons from words I've seen in red. Put my burdens on the man upstairs with a bowing of my head. Let me see your upside down frown, hands up in.
Now back with more Nate Jones.
Still working on songwriting. That's a big thing. You don't really have more new product unless you're writing new product. So in the music industry, the songs are the that production, that product. It's the way that you engage audiences. It's the way that you talk to people. So I'm definitely working on new songs currently right now. I'm still working on an EP that a lot of people didn't hear yet. I'm a local Michigan artist. You know, so I don't have the budget of the
record labels,
record companies, the record labels and all that stuff to promote the radio stations and all that kind of stuff all the time. So so I do what I can with my budget, but that's a long process.
You speak of that. That's why I decided to start this show on Sundays, was to just get the local guys out. And I don't care where you're at from in Michigan, even if you don't even, if you don't live in Michigan now, if you did live in Michigan, you moved to Nashville or wherever you moved to, still want to support the local Michigan people. And that's why I decided to do show.
And that's super, it's so appreciated. It's not just like, hey, I'm here, listen to what I've got to say. Like, it's also a big appreciation from guys like me, from me specifically, not just guys like me, but artists like me. Like, I appreciate it so much to have a platform where I can share with your audience, and I hope that, that they get to hear it and there's something genuine in it and that they get to pursue it and listen more. But it is so appreciated to just have guys like you, Jeremy, who just are like, yeah, I want to support the guy that doesn't necessarily have the huge budget or doesn't have that, all that. So.
Yeah, and that's what's nice is the radio station, Buck 92, is locally owned. We're not corporate, so I go right to the owner and I'm like, hey, I want to do this. And he was like, yeah, go for it. And so I don't have to jump through hoops and all that. I can just go talk to the owner. He lives right in Mount Pleasant. And so that's what's neat about it, is not having to worry about corporate radio and all that and having to jump through hoops to do this. It's what's neat about local radio.
Yeah. And again, like I said, it's super appreciated of that. And it's the best way for me to be able to talk to Michigan, like middle Michigan, directly. I can type away all day on social media and all that kind of stuff. I get a chance to actually talk directly to your audience, my audience, and our neighbors, really our friends.
Yeah, so. And that's what's neat about being local.
Yeah.
You get to know your neighbors, you get to know your the community, you get to know who's involved, and that's what's neat about it.
Love it.
What can fans expect when they come to one of your shows?
They can expect great music. I do a lot of different types of shows. I do shows where I'm solo. Sometimes I'm duo. Sometimes I'm trio. Sometimes it's a full band. Sometimes it's an extra full band. Every time, though, I guarantee that when you come out to see me, come out to hang out, come out to listen to the music, it's going to be great music. I'm going to be engaging. I'm going to be authentic.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to perform to the best of my ability, and you can probably swear by this if you were at every single show. If there was two people there, if there was a couple thousand people there or more, like, I'm going to perform I'll probably overperform, truthfully.
Yeah. you just want to put on a good show for everyone.
Like, hey, you pushed it a little far.
Yeah, but you want to put on a good show for everyone that's there. Said, whether it's two people or 1,000 people, you want to put on a good show.
Right. And that's intentionality. That's not me getting paid more because I perform better or anything like that. It's just me making sure that when I'm telling somebody these stories through song or when I'm getting a chance to perform, I'm going to do it to my best. Why would I show up with anything less than that,
Yep.
And maybe some days you're under the weather. Maybe some days you perform to the best that you can. That's what excellence is, right?
Like,
you do the best that you can in the scenario or the situation that you're in. So, that's something that can be guaranteed at every show is, hey, we're going to perform with excellence. We're going to perform it to the best that we possibly can. And it's going to be awesome. Sometimes there's going to be a violin. Sometimes it's just going to be me and a loop pedal. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you remember your first live performance?
No. I can solidly say no, I don't remember my first live performance, but I know that because of that like church choir kind of background growing up, it's too hard to remember when I got my first solo or when I sang like that or that kind of thing. But I can guarantee you that I was nervous for probably the first 17 or 18 years of doing it, I'm still nervous now, but I remember sweating so badly and just needing to use the bathroom, just on the edge of nervousness of like, oh no, what, like, and I don't even know what that was. I don't know what that is in the human, it's one of the biggest fears is public speaking or public performance. I don't actually know what that is, that causes us to fear. Maybe it's just judgment. It's too hard to probably pick out one performance, but I can tell you that I guarantee the first couple hundred were pretty sweaty.
What's been your most memorable show so far?
There's been a lot for sure. I get some really cool moments at a lot of shows. I write music with, like I said, with intentionality, story, being able to share that with other people. And so there's a lot of shows where I get to hear some other people's story who are resonating with what I'm saying, or, at the end of a show, I always give a little bit of time to talk with some people who are still sticking around and that kind of thing. every show I usually come away with something.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically, I used to be in a country rock band called Athens Creek, and we went global with our music. We got invited to come to, or to go to the Finger Lakes in New York, in New York State. And there's a guy that was dying of a disease called ALS. A lot of people know it as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yep.
And it's terrible, it shuts down most of your nervous system. And,
yeah.
But he found one of our songs on YouTube during, I can't remember if this was pandemic or it was pre-pandemic actually. So he found one of our songs during that time, and it just connected so much with him. And so we actually got hired to come to a celebration of life, but because they knew the disease was so disabling over time, they actually did the celebration of life while he was alive. And so we got to go there and perform this song for him, for his family, for his friends. And that community was just like, they invited us in and they took so much care of us. You know, I think I got like a Leatherman multi-tool from one of the guys, like best friends. You know, like it was just like these people cared so much about the fact that we were even just willing to come and like hang out with them at this thing. And that's still like one. There's many, many,
they treated
many
you like family.
Many things that happen. But yeah, they brought us right in and like just loved us like, you know, right there. And that was really cool.
If you could open for any country artist, who would it be?
Ooh, Casey Musgraves probably would be on my top. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
I do really like this new wave of country Americana. This, like I mentioned earlier, Zach Bryan, Tyler Childers.
Yep.
And Zach Top even, you know, like there's just like this newer wave of younger guys that are coming up, and
they're bringing the older sound back.
I love to play with the country legends.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I love the Zach Top sound. You know, like when I first heard it, I actually thought it was like an Alan Jackson kind of like a young Alan Jackson thing or something, you know? Yeah. So I'm definitely loving that. You know, I'd be happy to jump on any of their tours.
Yeah.
Casey, of course, too, you know, she's ever since I think Merry Go Round was probably the first song I ever heard from her. And, so certainly one of my favorites there too. If Johnny was still alive, if Johnny Cash was still around, he would be the number one. So if it was living or dead, I'd probably pick Johnny, but the rest of those guys, I certainly appreciate. And my wife would probably hope that I was out there with Tim McGraw. So she's a huge Tim McGraw fan. So.
Yeah. Here's a fun question that I like to throw out there. Your road trip snack of choice.
So probably Taco Bell.
Yeah.
That's not even just a snack. I mean, like I'd stop three times in a road trip. If it's an 8-hour road trip, if I'm driving to Nashville, it's probably like I'm stopping. I might grab like a steak crunch wrap on the morning, you know, and then stop for like a cheesy roll up at some point and then finish it off with a cheesy gordita crunch. So
yeah.
That's the thing, you know. I you can't eat that all the time when you're on the road. So we make a lot of trail mixes and some good dried fruit, some decent, you know, some dried berries or something that has like a low sugar content.
Snack sticks and cheese and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you get a lot of, you know, like a lot of the easy to eat stuff.
Uh-huh.
But you know, man, if I'm on a road trip and I really want to I want to snack the way I want to snack.
Yeah,
it's probably Taco Bell.
It's like me. I don't know what it is, but I love their soft tacos and just nice. The meat and cheese, just meat and cheese, nothing special with some fire sauce on it.
There you go.
What's your favorite country song of all time?
Ooh, see, that's definitely challenging. There's so many great ones out there.
I agree.
I'd probably tie. Yeah. What, before I answer, what's yours?
What's mine?
You got one? Do you have one?
I like Garth Brooks, The River.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Just because of the story it tells.
Yeah, the dance is an amazing song.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I probably would have to pick Garth Brooks' Thunder Rolls.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
And it would probably tie up with Folsom Prison Blues just because I love the vibe of Folsom Prison. It's so much fun. And actually, I've recently like listened to Folsom Prison and realized how much I've sped it up over the years.
Uh-huh.
You know, as a newer artist and that.
Yeah.
But you know, Don't Take the Girl from Tim is probably another one. Like those are probably like the top three. Don't Take the Girl. I cry every single time. I can't help it at the end, you know, like when it's like, don't take her, God, take me, you know, that kind of thing. And,
and that's what's so hard about that question is because anything from like the 80s and 90s, of course, that's, you know, when I was born in 78. So the mid 80s to the early 2000s is when I was big into country music.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there was just so many great artists in that whole era that it's hard to just pick one, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, if you talk about that era, I think obviously George Strait, Garth Brooks dominated that era. Right. You know,
You also have Brooks and Dunn. You have, I mean, so many Alan Jackson.
Alabama.
I mean, just so many great artists out there from that whole era.
You know, I've been recently, like, I play a lot of covers at bars when I'm doing bar shows or restaurant shows. And recently I got back into, like, David Lee Murphy, like, Dust on the Bottle.
Yep.
You know, like, some of these, like, some of those, like, those 90s cuts that it's like, just, they feel deep. Like, they feel like deep cuts. But then when you, like, you pull them out, it's like, oh, man, that feels so, it still feels just as good. Probably almost just like the same bottle that that David Lee Murphy's talking about when he's, you know, when he's singing about that.
Uh-huh. We're going to wrap this up, but we got a few more questions for you.
Yeah.
What's your biggest goal that you're chasing right now?
You know, right now, I just want people to hear Greatest Is Love. That's the EP that I just released last June. And I still haven't found that full audience. When I wrote it, I wrote the last 10 to 15 songs that I've written and been intentional about, like, releasing have been with a certain audience in mind. And I know that until I hit certain numbers, the people that I want to hear them haven't heard them yet.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, I'm not chasing numbers, because I'm chasing the couple pennies that I get off of streaming services. You know,
yeah.
I'm chasing numbers because I know that somebody out there is feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone out there is feeling like there's no hope. Someone out there is feeling like they're unloved. Someone's out there feeling like, hey, like, if God doesn't send me a sign, like, I'm not, like, I don't know what I'm going to, how I'm going to take, like, the next day or the next step. And I wrote these songs with that, you know, with that in mind, that intention, like, the place that I've been, and I want to share that back. So right now, honestly, that's, like, my biggest goal, is to just make sure that the people that these songs were written for, and that they, you know, that they get to hear them, and that they take, you know, that they get to experience that too. So that's why I'm out there. I'm out there chasing, you know, chasing streams, chasing numbers, sharing on social media, all that kind of stuff, you know, telling people in person when I'm, you know, just sitting one-on-one, getting to share about music, you know, just that way, just get to keep chasing down those people, you know, that those few people that need to hear the song, those people that, it, you know, that it was written for beyond myself.
What advice would you give to other local musicians just starting out?
And don't waste time. I've been in this industry for a couple decades now, for two decades. And the first 10 years of me really, like, working and choosing this as my full-time gig, right? This is what I do. This is what I've done. Made music full-time, been able to be blessed to do that. But I did spend a lot of time and energy working on something that I wasn't truly passionate about.
Yeah.
And that was me just spending time in bars and restaurants, you know, and working that everyday kind of, like, gig, where I woke up, like, 10 years after the first decade and was like, man, I haven't recorded any music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was a little bit, this, like, music recording world has gotten so do-it-yourself, DIY, be at home, or find, like, you know, a buddy who's a producer. Like, that's amazing. There's so much more access than there ever was, you know, two decades ago when I started this.
Yeah.
But it really was, like, 10 years later, and, you know, realizing, like, man, I was tired. I was tired because I was playing 5-6 nights a week. You know, one year I did 300 shows that year.
Wow.
And there wasn't any room to go and record. There wasn't even any creative space. You know, and so that's like, don't waste the time. And if your goal is to go play music in bars and for people every night, do it. Amazing. That's great. Go do the, you know, go fill up Broadway in Nashville, you know, go find your, you know, go to Memphis, like, go do your thing, like, go hang out here, you know, like, go hang out in Grand Rapids, go hang out, like, where you can do this, you know, make the music, sure, all the time. But if your goal is to go make music that has a purpose, that's intentional, and that is your own, then don't waste the time doing it. Like, just find a way to create it, find a way to make it, and don't let decades pass you by before you're ready to, you know, to share what you said or what you want to say.
Where can fans follow you on social media?
So basically, Nate Jones Music. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at Nate Jones Music, both of those. You can find me on YouTube at Nate Jones Music. You can find me on TikTok at Nate Jones Music Official. I didn't have Nate Jones Music, so I wasn't able to get that one in. But I was a little late to the TikTok game.
I still don't know TikTok at all either, so don't feel bad.
I don't get more than, like, 200 views, right? Like, I'm still in that, like, whatever. I don't shadow banned. I don't even know. I'm still in that 200 view market on most of my videos, you know.
Yeah.
But it is a small place where I can talk to, you know, talk to different people, and still another area that I'm building in. So if there are any TikTokers out there, at Nate Jones Music Official. And then my website is www.natejonesmusic.com. And I usually keep that pretty well updated with shows for the year. This year, I don't have a whole lot that I usually bulk load them up.
Mm-hmm.
Once like a season starts happening. So as it starts to get closer to warm up, you'll start seeing a lot of shows pop up there on the tour page or on the live show page. You'll be able to see, you know, where I'm at, where I'm going to be at, who's going to be out there with me, all that kind of stuff too. So yeah, I think that's majority of socials. You can find me on all the streaming services, all the platforms. If you're streaming out there music, and you can hear me on some radio station as well, you know. So
yeah,
we'll see what the buck does, you know. What happens over there?
Yeah. Well, hey, hopefully we get up here to Mid Michigan soon and put a show on and get out there and just have a great time with you.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, I appreciate you all having me on. I appreciate you guys letting me talk about, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm passionate about. It's an awesome way for me to be able to, you know, share the journey that I'm on, and also hopefully tell some people who get a chance to listen to some music that's going to impact their life in a positive way.
Nate, I'm going to thank you for coming on Kicking Country and Keeping It Local on Buck 92.3 FM and Buck92.com. Yeah, we'll get you back on here again soon. And like I said, thanks for coming on. We'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, man. Hey, this is Nate Jones, and you're listening to Buck 92.3 FM and Buck92.com.
Lonely is the man that waits for you, who only hides lies and tells the truth, holding out his hand to hold on to. Lonely is the man that waits for you, broken is the heart that pines for you. Open are the eyes where first love drew, holding on to hope, searching for proof, watching him, but he's not watching you. He can't love you like I love you, he don't see you like I do. When you're dancing all alone, or like a fool in a crowded room, I can't kiss you like I want to, hold you tight between these arms. You don't see me like I see you, so I guess I'll move along. Oh, it hurts to let you go. I just needed you to know. Jealous of your time that isn't mine. Stolen is the smile after the line. Hoping that someday our stars align. Knowing that the telling comes with time. Broken are the lines that once were. Writings of the walls of my heart grow. He can't love you like I love you, he don't see you like I do. When you're dancing all alone, or like a fool in a crowded room, I can't kiss you like I want to, hold you tight between these arms. You don't see me like I see. to know. I just needed you to know that I just needed you. Oh, I just needed you.
Kick off your boots and turn it up. It's time for New Local Country First.
I do love country music.
You're kicking country on Buck 92.3, where country legends live.